And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out, as this week we act up and go gay in Greece.
I'm Lucy Potter and he's Andy Shilton, and today we talk to Sean about the work campaigning Act Up Get Up To.
And Emmanuel, I'm going to say that right, I know I'm going to have said that wrong, I'll ask him when he comes in. He's also going to be joining us to talk about alternative therapies and stuff like that. So.
All today.
Right here on Shout Out. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
It was a little bit fraught getting here, wasn't it? If you're out and about on the roads at the moment, I don't envy you. The traffic is appalling. So, hello, Tara.
Hello. It started this morning to the M5. Someone just got killed on M5.
Very sad, wasn't it? But it shut the motorway, and then the portway was just jammed.
It just takes hours for anything like that to clear.
The bike path was fine, by the way. Just saying. No problems. No problems getting here.
Yeah. 6 weeks' time. Straight I'll in. Be there. Don't worry.
No leaves on the line or anything.
Nope. No. Really, really good.
Just potential of bike theft.
Just a couple of stray dog walkers, that's all.
They
get out of the way if you just bear down on them. They know what's going to happen.
Right, okay. So, is it me or is it already starting to feel really autumnal?
Yeah, leaves out there.
Yeah.
Definitely like, getting colder.
Oh, well, there goes summer.
Oh.
Well, I like summer. I was really enjoying it. I was hoping we would have one more like little heat wave.
But let's be honest. Summer happened in May and that was it. It was all over by June.
Oh, I don't know. In June we had that 30 plus heat, didn't we?
Am I not keeping track of what's going on?
No.
Keep on.
The years blend into each other.
I was just so used to all our summers being over by
June. Do you just like
air-conned
office or something?
No, God, no. No, I work in the public sector. We do not have air-conned offices. It's called opening a window, and then in the winter you close it, and that is it. That is your climate
fresh
control.
Year.
Yeah.
So, and Lucy, it's your first time in the new studio. What do
you
think?
Yes, I know. This is lovely. I found the new studio. It's a lovely new home. It's got a really nice seating area outside. Don't know why I thought I needed to mention that, but it's looking very swish.
Mary's admiring the hole in the wall where the carpet tile's fallen off.
I'm loving the carpet tile on wall. It's a great look.
It's soundproofing in case you... Well, it's not really proofing, is it? It's kind of sound reduction. Because it is real concrete kind of box here, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's looking good. No, it's looking very well set up. I'm loving the big screen of knowledge on the wall. Obviously, listeners don't know, but there is now a wonderful flat screen telly with all the things we could possibly want to know about BCFM and what time it is and what the weather's like.
Oh, look, you can see there. It says pedestrian struck by lorry on M5 near Bristol dies.
Yeah, so we weren't making it up.
No.
See?
So, it's looking very good. Nice setup.
Cool. I can even tell you it's 14 degrees outside at the moment.
Scattered showers, minimum temperature 7 degrees.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about what people can do in that weather?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what Tara's here to do, isn't
exactly.
she?
Oh, yeah, shall we do that? Okay, hang on a second. Let me find your jingle then. There we go. Go on, cough it out. There you go. So, non-coffee Tara.
Hello.
So it was supposed to be the fantastic duo today. What, Tara and Lara.
She'd be missing 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
She's obviously partying too hard. She's doing research too
much. She's a real party animal, that
I
one.
I reckon some research
to keep
get
an eye on her.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what are we talking about today?
Right, okay. I've got LGBT Adopters Coffee Morning, which is quite dear to my heart. So I was adopted as a child.
So was I. Yeah.
So I just feel it's an important thing to
I didn't know that was something we had in common.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. There you go. So I was adopted at 6 months old.
So
I was 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what's the aim? Is it for people who are considering it or who are doing it?
Yeah, so
or?
They can go along and find out about what it actually entails and how to go about it. So it's a fact-finding mission.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... So they ask for £3 if you're going along to help the charity along.
That'll help.
It's a real myth, because we often think that if you're LGBT or plus, there's a load of red tape in the way for it, and that's not true at all.
Absolutely not true.
We've had them on the show to talk about it before, actually.
So Bristol's great. I mean, I know further up north it can be a bit grim. So I've talked to my friend who lives in Aberdeen.
We've done the weather,
and it just doesn't work. So it's just like at the moment. But Bristol's pretty good place to be.
Yeah. And hats off to anyone who does, because I know it was about 2015. I think we talked to them. And it's obviously now a little bit later, but back then there was something like 600,000 kids in care, and that year only 6,000 were adopted. Yeah. So it's like 1%.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, Tara, are they making any particular push, or is this just a regular thing that happens?
So they do events throughout the year, and this one's open to anyone who started their adoption journey to RACS with LG Adopters and Protective Adopters to meet, chat and share their experience of adoption. So it really is finding out what it entails. So adoption doesn't necessarily mean like me, 6 months, or you, it's a couple of weeks.
No, you can be adopted at any age.
Up to, you know.
Are they talking about fostering as well?
No, it's an adopter's one, this
right.
one. So.
Okay.
And that is a Families and Children and Welcome. So, of course, if you've got kids, you can also adopt more.
Yeah, it's just a family day.
You know. And so it's the 16th of September. It's 10 a.m. to 12. And the suggested donation is £3. You can go to adoptionsupportcentre.org. And it's at the Centre for Adoption Support Education. Their telephone number, if you want to phone, is 0117 955 8826. And the venue is 162 Penimwell Road, Bristol. And that's BS5 QTX.
And they ask for a £3 donation.
So you can give more if you want.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a suggestion just to cover the day.
Okay. Oh, great.
So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, I have a something that's also going on. So can I do that?
Of course.
I'm really doing out shout. Right. Okay. So just to remind everybody that Queer Vision still have a showing at the Watershed. So at the moment, Queer Vision, obviously the LGBT Pride Film Festival that runs during Pride Week, but obviously they still show showings at the Watershed throughout the year.
Watershed are big fans of Queer Vision, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they work really well together. And at the moment, Queer Vision is showing God's Own Country at the Watershed. So get down and see that.
And what's that about? Sorry, I'll show my
notes
here. Well, so if you're from God's Own Country, you would know where it is. But it's generally the term people from Yorkshire used to refer. to Yorkshire, yeah.
So that's and tea and being grumpy.
Something like that.
Sorry, I'm stereotyping.
Do you want to hear about the film? Shall I tell you about the film? Okay, it's really good. It's being hailed as one of the best British films of this year. It's a brilliantly performed and impressively unsentimental story of love and longing in the Yorkshire Pennines, which sounds pretty much like Yorkshire. And it is about a sheep farmer. He's up there and he works long, back-breaking hours, and it's really brutal, and he's got a really, really tough life. And he's pretty lone, and he's pretty isolated, and he hasn't really got anyone to be out to. He's not really out to his dad. They don't really talk and all this kind of stuff. And then there is they hire a sort of labourer or assistant or help who, and he's Romanian, and they find love sort of blossoming in a very harsh and unforgiving environment, and you have to watch to see what happens next. So it is being
really good, actually.
It is being called the British Brokeback Mountain because it's two
sheep
farm, repressed feelings.
And they drink Yorkshire tea in the middle of it too.
Absolutely, yeah. And a pint of Tetley's as well. So, but it has been absolutely been tearing up the film festivals, got rave reviews. I mean, repressed feelings, not able to come to terms with your sexuality. I know it's not new ground, but it's just beautifully shot, and it's really, really heartbreaking.
So
and
you've seen it by the sounds of it, then
stuff like that. So I really should go see it. So no, I haven't. I can't actually vouch for it. But I know people who have seen it, and they said that it's really lovely. It's actually surprisingly tender.
So you could have lied. No one.
Yeah,
would have
I could.
Known.
I could have just said I've seen it.
But
yeah,
you're far too honest.
I should really let people go.
And
anyway,
it's
a British made film. Yes. It's still on at the Watershed. It's on until Tuesday, the 19th of September. So go see it whilst you can. And all the details are on the Watershed website.
Marvellous. Cool. Great. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A little bit of Shakira there. I don't think I've ever played Shakira on the show before.
She needs to be played more often.
You like Shakira,
yeah,
do you?
She's got the right vibe for the show, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally, you're playing Pentatonix.
People keep saying this. I haven't played Pentatonix.
Yeah,
Nick,
Mary's in the corner. Like, she's not. She's like, months. Yeah, no, he does. You play too much Pentatonix. So, but could you not get Steph to do some, like, you know, happy hardcore house or something?
Well, she does. Yeah. Usually just in person as well.
Yeah. You can tell when she's on the show because the dance tunes are banging.
There's nothing wrong with my dance tunes, thank you very much.
All right, okay. Pentatonix isn't really a dance tune.
I haven't played Pentatonix in like 9 months.
You play it all the time.
I do not. I'm not arguing. Anyway.
We have a guest.
We have a guest. Yeah, hello, Sean.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, you're in from ACT UP, aren't you?
I am, yes.
Do me a favour. For listeners who haven't heard of you, give us a kind of synopsis. What is ACT UP?
Sure, no problem. So ACT UP is an association of people who are basically trying to make sure that the needs of people living with HIV and AIDS across the world are met, largely through direct action and usually as a result of sort of poor processes and a lack of services available in the places where they're doing the demonstrations and so on.
And actually that's got a real historical bent to it, hasn't it? I mean, there's a direct historical reason as to why it's rooted in direct action. Can you
Absolutely.
Speak to that?
I mean, you were talking about a situation where it's sort of ACT UP itself started around 1987. This is a time when HIV and AIDS was at absolutely epidemic proportions in America, all the way across America, especially in sort of the gay male populations there. And so it was founded in 1987 in New York by a guy called Larry Kramer. And he was basically wanting to, well, people were watching their friends, their family, all their loved ones die.
It was not a nice time, was it?
It wasn't, no. I mean, basically, HIV at that time was a death sentence. It was a situation where HIV, which is a virus that people are largely getting through sexual contact, very rife in communities where you may have multiple partners over short periods of time. It was creating devastation in these communities, and there was really no response from the people responsible for looking after sort of the welfare of their people. Mm-hmm. So ACT UP was established in a situation where thousands and thousands of people who were diagnosed knew that they had a couple of years to live with their health deteriorating.
Well, almost actually, as you said, yeah.
They're waiting to die. Yeah. They knew they were going to die at this point, and there wasn't any response. So what the ACT UP group in New York was doing was basically trying to demand that things were being done, rather than going through the political channels, rather than trying to get people to understand the pain that they were going through. Mm-hmm. They were actually going out there shouting and screaming instead of asking politely, because that wasn't working. They were demanding experimental drugs that were basically not being put onto the market because they believed that those were being kept actively from them. And a lot of the people, remember, they were seeing these kind of drugs as potentially their only chance of survival, as they're watching people in their communities just devastated by this disease. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you wanted some ideas of what kind of direct action that they were taking, I mean, they completely shut down the FDA, which is the Department for the Drug Administration in America, for a fair while. But they also did really dramatic things in the streets of New York. There was a procession which carried the coffin of somebody who had died from HIV with it open. They wandered down the streets and laid it on the steps of the town hall and left the body there to try and just illustrate that people were actively dying. There's the more famous things like the AIDS quilt, which and the names of all the people who were dying of HIV, just thousands and thousands of names being read out so that their names were heard. And also the remains of people who had died of HIV were being taken and thrown onto the White House lawn, just the dust scattering across it so that they could say, look, you aren't doing anything, this is the result. And giving it back to the people who weren't doing anything to help them.
So what about a little bit closer to home then? What kind of things have ACT UP done here?
In Bristol? There has been a very active chapter in London, really trying to sort of press the extortionate price of HIV drugs. Which do not need to be as expensive as they are. I mean, they can be insanely expensive, costing maybe 30p a pill. And when it's something that you are going to have to take once a day, every day for the rest of your life.
Yeah, there was that famous story about the investor, Martin Shkreli. Was that his name? Have I got him? Who bought the...
I can't remember it myself.
He bought the expired patent on a very cheaply produced HIV drug, and then promptly it was a generic HIV drug, and promptly put the price up by about 300% or something.
It did backfire, as I recall. I believe it nearly bankrupted.
People could clearly see just the sheer profiteering nature of what he was doing.
I was just trying to sort of illustrate that these drugs don't need to be as expensive as they are, because
a lot of the time there are now generics available, and generics are basically the same drugs, but they are made. They're made basically the same difference as buying from a name brand and buying sort of the budget brands if you were doing it in the supermarket. It works. These drugs are just as effective, but they cost huge amounts more, potentially saving fortunes for the National Health Service and things like this. Also, one of the things that if people want to know more about sort of ACT UP as an idea, there's a fantastic film which actually inspired Bristol to create its own chapter of ACT UP, which we showed in Bristol last year. It's called How to Survive a Plague, and it's going through some of the most dramatic times of the HIV epidemic in New York and how they were trying to fight back against it. Anyone wants to give it a watch, I think it's actually on sort of the online streaming channels at the moment. But it's a really good way for people to sort of learn more. And we actually got some people down from ACT UP London to speak during this, and inspired some of us in Bristol to create the Bristol chapter of ACT UP.
So how long has the chapter here been together then?
It's actually only been around since the tail end of last year.
Right.
It's been slow to grow because it's trying to work out sort of how you can do these direct actions.
We've talked to several of the organisations that have just had their funding cut, Brigstow, THT, to name a couple, and they're loads of them. It sounds like the perfect kind of thing that ACT UP I assume looking at.
It is, absolutely, 100%. I mean, the funding for things like HIV is just dropping, which is going to lead a lot of people to believe that HIV and AIDS are no longer a problem. Now, due to effective treatment, AIDS is luckily no longer a problem. You aren't seeing people dying, and you're not seeing people in hospital beds.
As long as they get that treatment, though, which is, let's be honest, even the most mildest form is still a couple of pills every day for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And if that's costing the kind of cost that it is, you are pretty much tied to living and working in the UK if you're able to keep getting that for as long as the NHS keeps going.
It's very true. This is one of those examples of why the NHS is just such an essential service. And it's also the thing that, I mean, these HIV drugs aren't just protecting the people who are living with HIV, it also protects the people who don't have HIV. One of the best kept secrets about HIV is the fact that actually somebody who is on effective treatment, normally meaning that they've started taking the pills and they've been taking them effectively for 6 months, this person is now not able to actually infect other people, which is a piece of information that really needs to be shouted from the rooftop.
Being undetectable, isn't
it? It's undetectable, which basically means that the amount of virus in the body is so low that most tests can't actually detect it. And this means that there isn't that free-running virus in their body and they can't pass it on to other people. So it means that actually if you're going out on a night out, you happen to find somebody and you maybe are a little bit uncareful, you're probably safer sleeping with somebody who is aware of their HIV status and on treatment than if you just met somebody random who has never been tested.
We should point out though that there is more that you can catch than just HIV. It's not an excuse to have unprotected sex.
It's not at all. I mean, the best way of protecting against anything is still going to be condoms. There's a lot of talk about things like PrEP and so on that can obviously
if they're cutting all the stuff for HIV, of course it also has an effect on things like PrEP as well, doesn't it?
It does. We
all saw what happened in the press with the whole the NHS not wanting to take it on, and of course if they're having their funding cut as well, it's kind of, you know, they're being pulled on both sides.
It's true, and this is it. But again, PrEP is a fantastic tool in the box for sort of dealing with HIV.
It's an option.
It only stops HIV infection. There's still plenty of other things that you could potentially catch, and condoms are still the best idea.
In short, we've had experts on from THT, and we've spoken to the guys that run, like Greg, who runs I Want Prep Now, mm-hmm. And the like, and they do basically say the best thing you can do is get regularly tested as well.
It is.
Because it's better to know and do something about it straight away than it is to ignore it and leave it, because that's when the problems then start.
Totally true. The sooner somebody gets diagnosed and is on treatment, the better their outcomes are, and people living with HIV can live a normal lifespan.
Yeah.
In fact, for most people living with HIV, the fear isn't the fears of what's going to happen to their health. It's actually more to do with the reactions, the discrimination, yes, and stigma that they may get affected by, may receive from other people.
Yeah.
Now tell us, if people are interested in getting involved in ACT UP, what happens? Do you meet at certain times?
We've been having regular meetings, sort of usually on Wednesdays. We are really trying to get hold of more members. We have a hugely more from the LGBT community than other communities. However, HIV doesn't discriminate, and we really need to get some people to support us who are from the other high prevalence groups. It would be great to get more female representation. It would be great to get more black representation and other minority ethnic groups as well, because these groups are disproportionately affected, and therefore we really want them to be represented. We want to get their voices out to the council in relation to the cuts that are happening around support services now, to make sure that people are going to have the services.
If people join, what have they got to do? Has everyone got to go out and march and be like really loud in front of the council? Or
they don't.
Have you got places for all kinds of different people?
No, I mean, this is it. There's going to be people who want to get involved in various different ways, and it's one of the things that we do is skills inventory, where we can actually work out what people are good at, what people want to do, and this is what you need in any kind of organisation like this, because it's not all about shouting out loud. It's also about having the skills. We're actually doing Arts and Crafts Day, where people are making sort of the materials and things that we'll be using. We're designing sort of media. We're also going to be offering HIV awareness training called Fact Up, which is going to be providing people with the knowledge around HIV that there is just not the education for now. And it's really important in Bristol, because Bristol is actually a high prevalence area for HIV, much higher than any other city in the country, and one of the highest prevalence areas, 2 in 1,000. Which means that we've got roughly 1,000 people diagnosed, and that's without the estimated 20% of people who are going around undiagnosed.
Gosh. So finally, because we are rapidly running out of time, but if people want to get hold of you, I guess the easiest thing to do is point them to your website.
It is. We're on social media. We're actually running a petition on our social media sites at the moment to tell the council that we do not want cuts to HIV services. You can find us on both Facebook and on Twitter, and we are ACT UP Bristol. We're also trying to fundraise for the actions that we're going to be doing. And
you've got an event coming up.
We do have an event coming up. It's a little way away, but it's called Punker. It's going to be a night at the Queen Shilling, which is going to be playing women-fronted Indian rock music, and that's going to be on the 20th of October this year. It's going to be £5 entry. Come down. The money raised is going to go towards helping to support HIV-positive people. Also, for people who are interested in joining, you do not have to be HIV positive to stand by people who are living with HIV. We need the voices of people who support it as well, to show that actually this is not just a small community. People care about these people. So please come and support us, sign the petition online, come to our events, and if you fancy joining us and think you've got skills and things that you think might be useful, then please get in touch with us on the social media. We'll invite you to our meetings, and you can come down and meet us.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to talk to you.
It's been great, yes.
And we'll have to make sure we stay in touch, especially since you're so
new.
I didn't realise that you were so
new.
So
new.
come back again, and perhaps we'll catch up with you in like 6 months or something and see how it's going.
Absolutely love to.
Cool.
Definitely.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast. Come on and bang them
sticks. That's Meghan Trainor and Bang Them Sticks. You'd never have known that is Meghan Trainor. It's a very different kind of song for her.
I'm not too familiar with her oeuvre.
Meghan Trainor?
Well, yeah, I know who she is, but I guess I can only remember like a couple of songs that she's made, but
I'm trying to think of the name of her most famous one.
All About That Bass.
Yeah. All About the Bass.
That was Meghan Trainor.
Yeah. Yes,
because we use that over on one of sister stations, Bass Radio. The bass.
Yeah. So, well, hello to listeners on Bass.
Bass
of course,
Radio,
we're on Bass as well. So,
and hello, Terry.
Yeah.
Good evening.
How are you, mate?
I'm not too bad, thank
cool.
you.
Should we get some news headlines?
Of course. This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 14th of September. Tributes have been paid from across the LGBT and feminist communities to the author Kate Millett, who has died aged 82. Although Millett did not wish to become a spokesperson for the emerging women's liberation movement of the 70s, her doctoral thesis, called Sexual Politics, propelled her to the front of the feminist issues of the day. As the gay magazine The Advocate notes, her book questioned the origins of patriarchy, detailing them as political and cultural, and asserted that sexual revolution relied on breaking down the traditional heteronormative family. Millett inspired many women to get involved in women's liberation groups. And tributes have also been paid to the gay journalist and writer Richard Smith, who is reported by Gay Times to have passed away recently. Smith wrote for the magazine during a period of intense and exciting political activity in the communities, with direct action groups such as Outrage, the Lesbian Avengers and Homo Cult challenging the landscape of legal inequality. Gay pop had also come of age, with boy bands openly marketed to us and punk acts like Pansy Division and Bikini Kill being radically queer and feminist. Now, Smith covered these cultural changes in the pages of the gay press, and in 1995 put down his many thoughts on popular music in the book Seduced and Abandoned, which you can still find in secondhand bookstores. Ruth Davidson, the leader of the Conservatives at the Scottish Parliament and an out gay woman in politics, has given her first detailed interview to the Jewish Chronicle, the UK's oldest newspaper for the Jewish community. Davidson spoke about her upbringing in the Church of Scotland and how this has impacted on her relationships with other faith communities. As a gay woman, she also said that she admired the position of Israel in the Middle East on LGBT rights and women's integration. Davidson also said she was backing Theresa May as the Westminster Prime Minister. The communist daily paper Morning Star reports this week on the future of the deal between the Conservative Party at Westminster and the Democratic Unionist Party, designed to keep Theresa May's government in office. The DUP has been widely criticised for its opposition to marriage equality and its anti-choice position on abortion. The Independent Workers' Union of Great Britain has successfully challenged the legal status of the agreement, in particular the billions worth of investment in Northern Ireland secured by the DUP as a caveat of their support for the May government. Parliament may now have to vote on the future of the deal. Matinee Radio, an online streaming service which plays music from the shows, caught up with the trio Take That this week on the eve of the debut performance of their new musical at Manchester's Opera House. For gay and bisexual men of a certain generation, Take That with the boy band par excellence of the 1990s, their homoerotic antics often appearing in the pages of Boys newspaper. The new musical called The Band will feature Take That and contemporary boy band 5 to 5 and look at growing older as a group of friends reunite after 25 years. Now, the gay press sometimes gets justifiably criticised for featuring vacant articles and for being dominated by muscle boys. However, Australian magazine DNA this month looks back at the case of the trans whistleblower Chelsea Manning, who is a hero to many people over her preparedness to face life imprisonment for revealing alleged American war crimes in the Middle East. The detailed essay gives the lie to the claims that the gay press has lost its political and campaigning edge. Meanwhile, Pink News reports that Manning will be a visiting fellow at Harvard University, where she will speak about gender identity and politics of the LGBTQ communities. And finally, the street-sold magazine The Big Issue reports this week on the release of the late George Michael's posthumous single Fantasy. The track was originally laid down at a recording session in the late 1980s, but was never formally released. Now it has been reworked by Nile Rodgers, the pop genius behind Chic and many dozens of soul hits. Mr. Michael was a ceaseless supporter of many causes, and after his death last Christmas, it was revealed that he had given most of his wealth away to charity. For these news stories and more from the LGBT universe, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The Wanted, Walks Like Rihanna. Is it, if good. Your mum likes it, I must be doing it right.
Yeah, she's enjoying it. She's enjoying the music, she says.
Hello, Lucy's mum. What's your mum's name?
Barbara.
So, hello, Barbara.
Oh, dear.
I'm glad you like my music choice. So, yeah, that's Wanted. I really like that one.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Good Mary tune. Likes it, so we're fine.
Yes. Mary's enjoying it. She was dancing while she took photos, so...
So, now,
Mary's been here all along, by the way.
Yeah, she's hiding in the background taking photos, and
she's just been making things happen.
Hanging out, you see. It's you know, new studio.
It's a cool place to be.
It's a cool place to be. Yeah.
Yeah, so. We like the new studio.
So now, speaking of cool, I'm really sorry, mate. I think I said your name wrong at the top of the show.
But
will you please tell me how I'm supposed to say it properly? Emmanuel.
It's Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Yeah, but right. It's all right if you called me Emmanuel.
I did. I think I did. I did try. So when you've got like 10 seconds to say something in the top of the show, it can be a little bit fraught at times, can't it, Lucy?
Yeah, this is true. I think I got my bit wrong as well. So
now you come in to talk to us about kind of alternative therapies and the like, but I believe it all stems from being in Greece.
Yes, all started there.
So tell me what happened. What brought you here and what took you into the profession?
Personal experiences, obviously, and then, well... Being in Greece, let's say, and being gay, even more important, is that you grow up in a religion country, very religion country. So back in the 90s, when I was young.
Right. Is that when you came over here? It was back in the 90s, was it?
No, I came here 3 years ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, fair enough. Sorry.
No, I came here 3 years ago, but in 90s in Greece, being gay... In a religion country, it's unacceptable.
Quite frowned upon, was it?
It's unacceptable. It was very difficult.
Yeah.
Being judged and everything. So you get that emotion inside of you that you're not wanted, you're not accepted, and being bullied and everything. So slowly in this, in those years, all this emotion was just being... built up inside of me.
Right.
And at some point, about, let's say, 12, 15 years ago, I had everything. I was absolutely fine. I had no absolutely reason to be depressed or anything. Then I started feeling depressed. And I was staying at home, crying, drinking. And this kind of depression made me, I wanted to go to do something. I wanted to help myself, but I didn't want to go to doctors.
Right.
It's one of my things. So then somebody suggested to go to do an energy healing therapy.
Right.
So I decided to go and do it. And that moment, when I left the therapy, I felt being like an nirvana state. A feeling that I've never felt before. And a feeling that I can't feel it now, even now. It was no stress, so relaxed and everything. So I started reading and searching about it because I thought, like, oh, there's something bigger than that. So I got into it, and I had more therapists for myself to help myself. And then I decided to follow it and help other people do that.
So give me some kind of an idea. What does it involve?
Right, this involves the energies of the universal energies, let's call it. And you need to be connected with these energies. And it's hard to explain in this short period of time and make it you explain everything, but... understand everything. But
okay, so if I came for a session with you, what kind of things would I have to do, or would I feel, or
right? So when you come for a session, let's say you're gonna we're gonna do a relaxation exercise,
right?
A guided relaxation exercise, not meditation, but relaxation, because people get confused with that.
Right.
Then you cleanse your aura, your energy field, and we proceed with the actual healing. Which the healing is about balancing your central nervous system, because all emotions, the feelings and everything goes to your central nervous system, and then everything comes to be when you're more depressed or you're depressed or you have infections on your skin or anything like that. Everything comes from there. So if you can balance that in regular basis, then you start becoming more calm. You have more clear thoughts. You can make better decisions for your life. And you end up going within yourself and grow in a different way and make your life better, even go to another country, as I'm here now.
Well, I was going to say, it must work wonders if it brought you over here. So
it just happened in once, just like that. In a week's time, I've decided that I'd go to England without any plan.
Yeah.
Just wow. Did it.
Okay, and so typically, how long would this treatment last? Is it a single, one-off, brilliant,
if it's
one-shot
a whole,
stop?
It's one and a half hour.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
So. But is it something you need to do repeatedly, or
do you start seeing
the benefits from the first one?
You will feel it from the first session, but it will be helpful if you, for when your somebody starts now, let's say, it will be helpful to do it like twice a month.
Right.
Okay.
But that's up to the person, how long, how many times. This is a tool that... It's a tool to help you become aware of yourself, of who you are, and release yourself from fears, from anxiety, from bad thoughts, from anything like that. It's just a tool. That's what it is. Everything has to be, you have to be willing to change yourself. For right. you, not for everybody else.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, because this helps you and your people around you. You can help them as well at the end. Yeah. The most important thing is to apply all this in your daily life.
Right.
Like, you wake up in the morning and you have bad thoughts. These thoughts... Some I have heard before that, oh, you have to fight your bad thoughts and try to get rid of them, but that's impossible to happen. But what you do is embrace these thoughts, and when you are aware of what you're thinking, you can change it. And it's a good lesson because it teaches you everything of from who you are, from why you're doing this, and many, many million things.
So, and it's great that it's something that you also you did personally before, and it helps you that much that you actually decided to do it as a career.
That is exactly the reason I'm doing it. So
is it just relaxation, or are there other techniques you can do?
There is another one, which is called chakra balance, right. Which is the seven energy centers on our body. It's all, they're all connected. They start from the top of your head and to down to your tailbone. I'm not going to go into details in that. There's plenty of information on the internet for somebody to, if you want to read. But because, let's, for example, if...
But it's all about relaxing you and
it's
your
about
body and...
releasing your emotional tension.
Right.
Right, okay.
It's your emotional health,
okay.
Basically.
Cool. Well, it sounds fascinating. If people are interested in perhaps learning a bit more or coming along and having a session, how do they get hold of you? Have you got a website? Or
yes, there is a website. It's called Anaplasis of Life.
Don't worry, we'll put it on our website if you didn't have a pen or...
Yeah.
It is a very difficult name, yes, but there is a reason why I chose that. There is there, at the website, and the sessions at the moment take place in the Aztec Hotel and Spa in Aztec West Up.
All right,
in Bradley Stoke.
Yes.
Okay.
Currently, I'm looking for to come closer, as yeah. well.
So a little bit more central.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, people okay. can read because it's quite far away
yes.
from the city centre. So.
Oh, you could be travelling next. You never know. Yeah. So, well, listen, it's been lovely. It's a subject we've never really talked
no,
about
it's quite
before,
new.
Isn't
yeah,
it? So
great.
It's lovely to
and
hear
it's,
about.
And
it.
It's great that it Kate, you brought such a positive thing in your life and your practice out of your experience yeah. as well. That's great.
Loving England, I presume.
Oh yes, yes. I love it here. I enjoy it as much as I can every cool. time. And I will be happy to be again in your show if you have me
yeah.
to talk something more specific next cool. time, maybe.
Cool. Okay. Brilliant. Well, listen, it's been lovely Thank having you. You on.
Thank you.
And best luck with it. And perhaps we'll catch up with you again in a few months, especially if you move central. So
yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Go and like...
Just get
like,
relaxed.
Relax before chakras. The show, couldn't
Steph,
we?
Steph probably needs her chakras aligning when she comes back. Yeah.
So anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
Hello that there, Mary.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
So have you ever had your chakra realigned? Or?
No, I've never felt the need. What a lovely guy, though.
He was, yeah.
Defo, yeah. yeah.
We've had some great guests today.
Yeah, we have. And it's really great for ACT UP to remind the to remind us all of the, I mean... There was a big march through the centre of Bristol on Saturday about it, but
well,
you know,
yes,
really, really topical.
Didn't get a chance to get taking it up to London as well. But, from
yeah,
what I understand.
Well, yeah, he was
not
there,
the march,
wasn't he?
But they went and presented something in London.
Well,
as
they
result.
Were presenting a green paper, and from what I understand from the news coverage, none of the Tory MPs they'd invited to hear him actually turned up.
No way. I'm not shocked.
Surprise.
Yeah, I'm not shocked, or but surprise. Kind of you know what a letdown for all those people who march.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know that they were prepared to do that. Marvin made the effort to go there and present something really practical,
yeah.
and no one actually wanted to listen. And you know, I've banged on about this on other shows, but you know, none of these things are luxuries, are they?
No.
You know, libraries, lollipop ladies. You know, looking after
schools,
our kids.
Lots of teachers.
HIV prevention services. Yeah. These aren't luxuries. These are essential things.
So just a salutary reminder to you know, it just because the march is over, it doesn't stop. There's still things you can do. There's still organisations you can get involved in. Like ACT UP, if that's something you want to get involved
Sean's
in.
Sean's absolutely brilliant. I saw him speak at the event that he was talking about where they showed the film How to Survive a Plague. Really,
it's a great
absolutely
film.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's an amazing film. It's pretty. I mean, for me, you know, my generation and my me, it was a real education for me, definitely.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember those times a bit, you know. So, kind of just remembering that and. Thinking about educating people nowadays to just not forget those
Absolutely,
days
yeah.
and to see how important those services are.
Yes, completely, completely. Anyway, no, yeah. let's end on
that
a high.
I was kind of tail end of it because I don't recall getting much education about it at school, if I'm honest.
Really?
About HIV. I think it was still quite a new... Well, it wasn't
Nothing
new,
whatsoever at my school about it at all. So
I was at college and it was something people didn't really talk about very much, actually.
Mm. No, well, you weren't allowed to be gay back then, were you?
Stigmatising.
Well, it's not just... doesn't just affect gay people, does it?
No, it
didn't men either,
yeah,
did it?
No.
You know, and that was kind of... People were hiding behind the fact it only affected certain groups, but that's never been true.
It's a public health issue. It's not a demonisation of...
And you know what issue we have? The show's ended.
Sorry.
Ended on our soapboxes. Let's go.
That's why we called it Shout Out. Anyway, that's it for today. But don't forget, if you do want to comment on the show or get in touch, we would absolutely love to hear from you.
As always, it's all in one place. Just head to shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, the Bridgestone Project will be here and updating us, which will be quite good. We can kind of find out how they're doing with all the funding cuts, can't we?
Yeah.
So, but from myself and the rest of the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.